ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजम् ब्रह्मणाम् ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नोति विस्सीदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः भज गोविन्दम् भज गोविन्दम् भज गोविन्दम् भज गोविन्दम् गोविन्दम् भज मूढमते गोविन्दम् भज मूढमते सम्प्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले सम्प्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति डुकृङ्करणे नहि नहि रक्षति डुकृङ्करणे नहि नहि रक्षति Nahi Rakshati, never does anything else protect you. No action you perform protects you. No fruit of an action will protect you. No accomplishment of you will protect you. No achievement of you will protect you. No kit and kin will protect you, can protect you. No friends around you will protect you. No academic qualification will protect you. No educational qualification will protect you. No money you have earned will protect you. No name and fame and popularity and the influence, the power you have will protect you. What is it which protects you now? You know, when they will all not protect. Everything has some capacity to protect you from something. And the question of the fear of death is there. Nothing will protect you from fear for good. Knowledge alone will free you from fear of death. Not only fear of death, it will free you from fear for good. In fact, the fear is very natural phenomenon. Every mind has. There is no mind which is free from fear. No mind which is free from fear. Please take it forward. Okay, Shastram says, no, there is no mind. If you ask utter fearlessness, what is utter fearlessness? No, only Jnani's mind is free from fear. Utter fearlessness is free, is there only for a Jnani. Utter fearlessness. One utter fearlessness, the freedom, the completely mind being free from fear for good. And such a mind alone is now absolutely secure mind. There is no insecurity. The mind which is free from fear for good, fear totally. The utterly fearless mind is what? Free from insecurity. The mind, insecurity also. And anxiety, tension and all that. And you say, which is the mind which is free from fear? And the fearless mind, bhayame illada manam. So that's what the fearless mind is, a secure mind, which is free from insecurity and anxiety, and also tension, stress, everything. And that mind is the mind which is free from fear, the mind which is free from sense of inadequacy. Naan kuraigalai udaivan endra ennathilirundhu vidupatta manam. Understand? The mind which is free from sense of insecurity. Thereby the mind which is free from needs, and thereby the mind which is naturally free from passion and desires, free from the hold of desires also. That means the mind which revels in fullness. Niravil telekindra maname bayumatra manam. Okay, the mind which revels in fullness is the mind which is utterly fearless. And which is the mind which revels in fullness? The mind which knows the truth of the whole jagat. Which is the mind which knows, which has the knowledge of the truth of the whole jagat? The mind which knows its own sorupam. The mind which knows its own truth. How? As the subject of knowledge, as the very self. The mind wherein there is knowledge of the self, there is knowledge of the truth of the universe. Where there is knowledge of the truth of the universe, there is fullness. Where there is fullness, there is no sense of inadequacy. Where there is no inadequacy, there are no needs, there are no desires, there is no passion, there is no fear, there is no insecurity, there is no tension, okay, there is no anxiety. Understand? That is why whatever you do, those things will not really protect you. Govindam bhaja. May you know that the Lord, the truth, and say, may you know the Lord through, may you attain the Lord through knowledge. May you know the Lord. Say, bhaja means may you know the Lord. Worship the Lord, pray to the Lord, but know the Lord. There ends everything. Geyam Gita Namasahasram. Geyam Gita Namasahasram. Dheyam Sri Pati Rupamajasram. Dheyam Sri Pati Rupamajasram. Dheyam Sri Pati Rupamajasram. Dheyam Sri Pati Rupamajasram. Neyam Sajjana Sange Chittam. Neyam Sajjana Sange Chittam. Neyam Sajjana Sange Chittam. Neyam Sajjana Sange Chittam. Deyam Dina Janaya Chavittam. Deyam Dina Janaya Chavittam. Deyam Dina Janaya Chavittam. Deyam Dina Janaya Chavittam. It's a pun. The words, okay? Geyam, it means has to be sung. Has to, literally it means has to be sung. Has to be recited, has to be chanted. What should be recited? He says, Gita Geyam. Gita Geyam means what? Gita means which Gita? Gita means literally song, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita. Gita Geyam means what? Geyam Gita Namasahasram. So, may one recite, what does it mean? May one recite Bhagavad Gita and also Vishnu Sahasra Nama Stotram. Only Upalakshanam for many things. So, may one recite all the verses which are in praise, which are hymns of praise of, hymns in praise of the Lord. Why? If you recite the verses in, sing, no? Doesn't mean we should not recite other things. Upalakshana means what? It's just something is hinted here. Because he can't give a list of all that we have. You can read, you know, whether in Gujarati language, Punjabi language, Tamil language, Nayan Marhal, we have all those things, or anything. So may one recite the stotras, the verses, hymns in praise of the Lord. Why? That will help you. The singing in praise of the Lord or reciting the verses in praise of the Lord will help you slowly appreciate the glories of the Lord. Will help you to remain connected with the Lord. Whenever you recite verses in praise of the Lord, then you remain connected to the Lord. when you remain connected to the Lord, that is how, that is the time you are not with anything else, you are with yourself. Why? Lord and you are not two different things. You means what? You means actually you are not different, you are not away from the Lord. You are not away from the, whenever you think of the Lord, you remain connected to the Lord. That is the way you learn to be with yourself. Okay, initially, it is impossible for one to be with oneself without doing anything. Only when you pray, when you worship, when you pray to the Lord, when you worship the Lord, when you sing in praise of the Lord, recite verses or chant mantras in praise of the Lord, you remain connected with the Lord. That is how you learn to be with yourself. Always please understand, people think going to the temples and praying at home, praying to the Lord or doing puja is a waste of time. That's not true. That is the way, that is the method, that's how the Shastra, that is how you start learning to be with yourself, learning to be by yourself. It is very important. It is not a waste of time. Whenever you sit and pray, whenever you sit and worship, when you recite some mantras or verses, then you are with what? Where is the mind? Mind is with verses. The verses talk about whom? Bhagavan, whether you know or not. Still, where are you connected to now? You are connected to Bhagavan. Whenever you are connected to Bhagavan, who is with you? Bhagavan. Okay, when you are with Bhagavan, you are with whom? Yourself. Secret. Understand now? You see, that is why prayer and worship actually helps one to remain connected, to remain, with Bhagavan. Thereby one starts learning to be with oneself. It's very important, very, very important. That is how you relate to the Lord also. There is no way of relating to the Lord otherwise. Because this small mind, it cannot comprehend the Lord, the whole, which is inclusive of the mind. Therefore, it always, mind needs an altar in front of it, which stands for the Lord. And there, you closing your eyes, you recite, sing bhajans, or recite the verses, or chant mantras, sing lyrics in praise of the Lord. That is the way you become connected to the Lord. You remain related, connected to the Lord. Thereby, you learn to be with yourself. You start learning to be with yourself. This is very important. Understand? So, Sahasranam is just mentioned there. Anything. And especially Sahasranamam is very important, because Sahasranamam stands for what I told you last class itself. I don't know whether I told you last class. Sahasram means thousand. And we have Vishnu Sahasranamam, which is from Mahabharatam actually, And the thousand names of the Lord. The Stotram consisting of thousand names of the Lord. And each name of the Lord implies the Swarupam of the Lord. Each name, I think I told you this, no name directly indicate the Lord. Bag, phone, like mic, stool, lamp, that's directly, words are directly indicate the Shiva Shakti. Like this, we directly indicate the person, indicate the, any word, any name indicates. Whereas the names of the Lord do not directly indicate the Lord, but they imply the Swarupam of the Lord, the reality. And by reciting those thousand names and seeing the meaning of the words, you are with Swarupam of the Lord. When we recite the names of the Lord, we are with a swarupam of the Lord implied by those words. So by learning to be with swarupam of the Lord implied by those words, you are with the swarupam of yourself. In fact, that is how that also helps one to understand the swarupam of the Lord. So such reciting those words implying swarupam of the Lord help us understand in due course of time that meaning of the words, and also ascertain the vision also. It prepares the mind. That is why Sahasranam, Vishnu Sahasranam Paranam is said to be very, very important. Vishnu Sahasranama Parayanam is always considered very important and very great. And that we can start in our class also. I can teach you that. It's a part of it, little bit. Every class you can learn few verses. It's good for us to know. We don't chant regularly, it's not difficult. It's very easy. Just the names. That is Stotram. It is a Mahabharata. Okay? It has very, we have big story about it. Bhishma was in the arrow bed and he wanted to know. And there the question comes, what is that chanting which one can attain? Moksha. And they chanted these 1,000 names. And there again Parvati asks, oh, is there one name which is equivalent to 1,000 names? By chanting one name, one can, all the 1,000 names become chanted. Yes. Rama, Shri Rama, Rama, Rameti, Rame, Rame, Mano, Rame, Sahasranama, Tat, Tulyam, Tulyam, equal to 1,000 nama. Rama, Nama, Varanane, oh, beautiful face. You know, Rama Nama is equivalent to 1,000 names of Mahavishnu Sahasranama. There again, look at this. Again, you are cut short. So, Rama Nama Japala is okay. Rama, 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 Rama. Why? Because any Nama implies the Swarupam of the Lord. By chanting the name, the swarupam of the Lord, truth, reality, will become understood one day or the other. That is the idea. That is the meaning. Understand? That is fine. Okay. But next, Gita Geyam. Nama Sahasram Geyam. May one recite Vishnu Sahasra Nama. It is good. And what is the next thing? Gita Geyam. May Bhagavad Gita also be recited. Gita Geya, in fact. So can one sing Bhagavad Gita? Geyam means to be sung, isn't it? Is it enough if we simply recite Bhagavad Gita verses? No. Here it does not, people always think, we can sing Bhagavad Gita. No. Bhagavad Gita is not meant for singing. Is not even meant for simply reciting or chanting. It is meant for understanding. So, may one recite Bhagavad Gita means what? May one read, understand, recite the verses of Bhagavad Gita and thereby try to ascertain the subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita. Is it clear now? Sing means people will start singing. I told you once, how many of you once told this? Suppose when the lyrics and all are there, you can sing lyrics. But Shastra, Upanishad wordings, sentences, Mahavakyas, and Bhagavad Gita, subject matter of Bhagavad Gita, you should not be sung. Vovika, they are all statements of facts. Statements of facts are not meant for singing but for understanding. There are lyrics which you can sing, like Brahma Mukate, that thing you can sing. How will it be if we sing the Bhagavad Gita verses? 1 + 1 is equal to 2. What is this? If a mathematician comes and sings like, how will it be? How will it be? Very fun, isn't it? Should come and see that 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. He has to make you understand. By the time he is singing, you will go somewhere and sing the melody. It's a fact. No physics teacher can come and sing in the class, okay? Understand? So, statements of facts are to be understood, not to be sung. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, people do sing Bhagavad Gita also. No, actually, we should not do it. Some people sing, you know. Katha Kavasham, it's okay. You can sing. You know, somebody was born somewhere, sometime. You know, they sing nice melodies there, voice is nice, it's good to listen. But what do you understand? How much does it clear your head? That is important, no? When problems come, do I have the strength to see? People have to see that. Music is very beautiful. That is different. That is different place. Okay, but here facts have to be understood. So Bhagavad Gita consists of what? Facts. Bhagavad Gita reveals facts, subtle facts, and we need to understand, read Bhagavad Gita, recite the verses, understand the subject matter of the Gita, and try to retain the subject matter in the mind. And reflect on it and ascertain it. Understand? That's what? Geyam Gita Nama Sahasram. And also what now? Dheyam Shripati Rupam Ajasram. So may one meditate upon the form of the Lord Vishnu. Shripati means what? Vishnu. Don't ask me whether we should not meditate on Shiva or what. You can meditate on Shiva also. Vishnu or Shiva. So may one meditate on the form of the Lord. Any given form of the Lord. Why? It is just to make the agitated, restless, jumping, turbulent mind disciplined and quiet. Make it quiet. Meditating upon any given form of the Lord will not help you attain moksha. Please understand. Meditating upon a given form of the Lord, any given form of the Lord, Vishnu or Ganapati or Shiva, will not help you attain moksha. Please understand that. Meditating upon any form is a meditation. It will help you to make the mind, this is a restless, agitated mind, calm and disciplined mind. It will help you to steady the unsteady mind. That's all. Understand? It will not help you to attain moksha. But here he mentions it as what? As a manasam karma. So reciting becomes what? Recitation becomes vachikam karma. Meditation becomes what? Manasam karma, mental activity. Understand? So in these two lines, the Acharya recommends the upasanam. Acharya here recommends upasanam. Upasanam means what? Upasanam means worship, which is as good as meditation. Upasanam here is a worship which is as good as meditation. How? Meditation literally means what? Only mental activity, isn't it? But here we are talking about vachikam karma, oral activity also. So, upasanam, which is as good as meditation, consists of what? Three types of activities. Three types of karma, threefold karma. What are they? Kayikam karma, physical activity. Vachikam karma, oral activity. Manasam karma, mental activity. So he implies in these two lines, what he actually reveals is, May one worship the Lord. May one worship the Lord. How may one worship the Lord? Physically, orally, and mentally also. So, worshipping the Lord, the act of worship, helps one to remain connected to the Lord, to remain related to the Lord. Thereby, one can learn to be with oneself, to be by oneself. So, physical activity also, even though it is physical activity, it is as good as meditation. Why? Because even though you are doing something physically, like you know, you are doing aarti, you are doing namaskaram, and you are offering naivedyam, whatever you are doing, even the physical activity, your mind is in Bhagavan. Mind is in that particular action. Therefore, mind is in that particular action offered to Bhagavan. Therefore, it is as good as meditation. And in apart from physical activity, okay, you then after aarti, you sit and, or before aarti or after aarti, you recite the mantras. You chant the mantras, recite the verses, or you sing lyrics in praise of the Lord. You sing the hymns in praise of the Lord. That is vachikam karma. That also is what now, whether you do it softly or loudly, but still, even if it's just simple nama japa, Om Namah Shivaya, whether you do it softly or loudly, still it is what? Upasana, vachikam karma. That also, even though it is oral activity, but still mind is involved there, therefore it is as good as meditation. So worship in the form of physical activity, offered form of physical activity, worship offered form of oral activity, and also manasam, what is manasam, mental activity. What do you do? Either you chant the mantras mentally, that becomes manasam karma, or you meditate upon a given form of the Lord. But this manasam karma, which is also upasanam, which will help you to steady your mind, discipline your mind, to understand, to quieten the mind, to make the mind calm. That's what it will do. Okay, so he says here, Gheyam Gita Nama Sahasram Dheyam. Dheyam means meditated, to be meditated. May one meditate upon Shripati's form Ajasram always. May one meditate upon the form of the Lord Vishnu always. Then, Neyam Sajjana Sange Chittam. Okay, but our mind, no? Our mind wants to go everywhere. Not mind wants to go everywhere. It helpless, it's going everywhere. Not only the mind goes everywhere, it drags you. It drags your senses. Understand now? Your sense, your mind goes after the senses. Senses go after the sense objects. The mind goes after the senses. So the mind is dragged. When the mind is dragged, mind drags you also along with that. Therefore, one has to really make efforts to take the mind, instead of being a slave of a mind, being a master of the mind, may one try to take the attention of the mind towards spiritual people. It means what? May one have association of spiritual people. Sajjanaha. Understand? Who are the spiritual people? People who have purushartha nischayaha, who know the value of knowledge, who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, thereby who know the value of dharma, and who are committed to live a life of dharma, who are highly prayerful and worshipful. Such people are spiritual people, whose commitment is to dharma. Understand? And therefore, sajjana sange chittam neyam. May one take one's mind to the spiritual people means what? May one have association of spiritual people. So that we will also try be what? Somewhere we will also become spiritual. That's the meaning. So, neyam sajjana sange chittam. Then, deyam dina janayacha vittam. So, may one share whatever one has with people who are needy. Dina janaha means what? Pitiable person. The one who deserves pity, mercy, is dinaha. Dainyan. Yeah. Dina janaya vittam deyam. So don't go and give money to people who don't need it. Okay, always share whatever is possible to your, to the extent possible, within your limits, and then with people who are really needy and who deserve pity and mercy. Why we should do all these things? This is the way you can prepare your mind for knowledge. Now he was all these times on all the words he emphasized, may you know the truth. Now he says, to know the truth, may you prepare yourself. To know the truth, may you prepare your mind. In this verse, he tells you to prepare your mind for jnanam. Why? You have to know the truth. No choice. No, doctor, I told you. You are coming on Monday. I didn't say that to you. I didn't ask you whether you can come or not. So, Acharya says here, you may you know the truth. All this was Govindam Bhaja, Govindam Bhaja, Govindam Bhaja. May you know the Lord. May you know the truth of the Lord. Now he says, there's no choice. Because nahi nahi rakshati. Apart from knowledge of the truth, nothing will protect you. But you are not qualified for knowledge. You have to know the truth. So better become qualified for knowledge. How can you become qualified for knowledge? What choice do you have? You have to be qualified for knowledge. You have to know. Look at this. You have to. Do you have any choice? Is there any shortcut method? Is there anything else? No paracetamol, brufen, no choice here. No choice.
Strong drugs.
Oh, yeah.
No choice here. You have to know one day or the other. If you don't want in this janma, doesn't matter. But to come back until you know. You won't be allowed, okay? You will be chased until you know. You may come and go, punarapi maranam, punarapi jaranam, punarapi jarani jatari. I don't want to know, I'm not going to know. Let me see what's going to happen. Nothing will happen, you'll come back. But we may not be able to meet and talk. Oh, see, I told you, no? We may not be able to meet because I don't know where we will be placed again. Some punyam, some paradha brought us together. Again, how will be next? Shastra makes it very clear. You have no choice. This samsara is bandaha. No, bandaha means what? Bondage. You have no choice. You will just be coming again. New mother, new father, new setup. Okay, you will be born again. You will come back. How long? Until you know. That is why no choice. You have to know the truth. That is where you will be that is the only way, to protect yourself from samsara. And to know the truth, you have to be qualified. No, I don't want to be qualified, but I want jnanam. Easily I want. That is also not possible. You want jnanam, you have to be qualified also. You should be eligible for the knowledge. How can you be eligible? Whole life, no worship, no prayer, nothing. And last minute, all pain, Bhagavan, hey Bhagavan, I want freedom. Please relieve me from this. Bhagavan will say, come on, you just suffer and go or come back. Overnight, it's not possible to get the jnana, you know that. Overnight, who will get us the jnana overnight? Even to make sambar, it takes half an hour. No, overnight jnana, how will it happen? How is it possible? Jnana, people, overnight. Overnight, jnana, not fast food or something. Even, no? Even fast food, you have to go and wait in queue, Madras. There, because, you know, if you go to Grand's Sweets, you have to wait in a queue, because people, so many people are waiting. And there again, fast, you have to get, as soon as you go, pay the money, get, no. Everywhere, okay, you have to wait. So what about this jnanam, paramarthikam jnanam, knowledge of the reality, knowing which, oh my God, you will be completely relieved of how you can revel in fullness. Anandaha. Even for small little pleasure, you had to pay so much of money and had to wait for so long. And what about the anandaha, fullness? For that knowledge, you had to be qualified. And for that qualification, you have to learn, no, from now on. You have to prepare your mind. The mind is not possible for one to contemplate upon the nature of the self suddenly overnight. Suddenly, how will you be contemplative? First you understand the nature of the Atma, then you have to contemplate upon the nature of the Atma. Then without any difficulty, you will have the vision of the reality and then you will be reveling in fullness. But for which your mind must be meditate, mind must be what? Conducive. Mind must be quiet, calm, serene, agitation free. It must be available for contemplation. It must enjoy the contemplative disposition. For which, better learn to worship the Lord first, which is upasanam. You can't sit and meditate also overnight. Understand? Therefore, do kayikam karma, do puja, sit in front of the Lord quietly, light the lamp, at least, you know, you don't need to big elaborate puja. At least sit for a few minutes, light the lamp. Even if you don't want to light the lamp, at least sit in front of the Lord. Then pray, recite some verses, do some namaskaram. You know, kayikam karma, vachikam karma, and also meditate upon the form, or do some manasa japam. Do regularly, at least for 5-10 minutes a day, then this will help one slowly to prepare the mind later on for contemplation. It's clear, it's very important. That is why here he tells how to, there's no choice. You have to prepare your mind for knowledge. No choice. You have to know this truth for freedom. And to know the truth, you have to be eligible to make yourself, no, to be qualified, to be eligible for knowledge, may you do upasanam, which involves kayikam karma, vachikam karma, manasam karma. Threefold karma also are considered important as good as meditation, because in threefold activities, mind is involved. In physical activity, mind is involved. In oral activity, mind is involved. In mental activity, mind alone is involved. Isn't it? That is why that is implied here. And to be able to be worshipful and prayerful, to do kayikam karma, to do vachikam karma, to do manasam karma, no, to associate, to be thoughtful of Bhagavan, may you always associate yourself with spiritual people who are not mere religious people, argumentative, quarrelsome people. But here, associate yourself with spiritual people who are committed to dharma and pursuit of knowledge. And also, you know, learn to, also try to share whatever you have with people who are needy, you know, who deserve pity, who really, who deserve mercy. Okay? It's for preparing you yourself for knowledge. Therefore, Geyam Gita Namasahasram.
Geyam Gita Namasahasram.
Dheyam Shri Patirupamajasram.
Dheyam Shri
Patirupamajasram. Neyam Sajjana Sange Chittam.
Neyam
Sajjana Sange Chittam. Deyam Dina Janaya Chavittam.
Deyam Dina Janaya
Chavittam.
Sukhata
Kriyate.
Sukhata Kriyate.
Rama Bhoga.
Rama Bhoga.
Sukhata Kriyate. Rama Bhoga.
Sukhata Kriyate.
Rama Bhoga.
Paschadanta
Sharire Rogaha. Paschadanta Sharire Rogaha. Yadyapi Loke Maranam Sharanam. Yadyapi Loke Maranam Sharanam. Tadapina Munchati Asha. Tadapina Munchati Papa Charanam. Tadapina Munchati Papa Charanam. Sukhata Kriyate Rama Bhoga. Sukhata Kriyate Rama Bhoga. Paschadanta Sharire Rogaha.
Paschadanta
Sharire Rogaha. Yadyapi Loke.
Yadyapi Loke.
Maranam Sharanam.
Maranam Sharanam.
Tadapina Munchati Papa Charanam. Tadapina Munchati Papa Charanam. He says, always what we do generally, if we do not have Purushartha Nischayaha, then there is no way of knowing the value of knowledge. If Purushartha Nischayaha is not there, what is Arthaha, what is Kamaha, what is Dharmaha, what is Mokshaha, there is no fifth pursuit, there are only four pursuits. And artha, kama, dharma, everything is ultimately for mokshaha. Mokshaha is not something to be accomplished, which is already there. It is discovering the fullness which is already there. It is discovering the niraiva which is already there. And for which all that we need is, we need to prepare the mind for this knowledge. Understand? Preparing the mind for the knowledge of something which is already there. That is why we are living this life. We are living this life ultimately to prepare the mind for knowledge, thereby to know the fullness. But to live this life, we need artha and kama. So we have to be very clear. We need to pursue artha and kama in conformity with dharma to live this life. And we are living this life ultimately to discover the fullness which is already there. If we are very clear, we have Purushartha Nischayaha. If we do not know this, then we live our lives for artha kamas. Understand now? We live our life for artha kamas, means we do not have Purushartha Nischayaha. If we live our lives for artha kamas, then we will not know the value of dharma. We will not know the value of knowledge. We will not be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Then, understand, it is like we will be like blind people led by the blind. So initially what we do? Always enjoy, you know. Sukhataha kriyate rama bhoga. Whole life enjoy. Why? No purusharthanis cheha. No knowledge of the value of knowledge. Therefore there is no commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. Therefore there is not possible, it is not possible for one to know the value of values, dharma also. But just live. Live your life. For what? To enjoy your life. So, pursue artha and kama. Okay? So, earn money, enjoy all pleasures. Whole life is for enjoyment of pleasures. To enjoy pleasures, now make money. Which whatever mitu means. You know? Whatever means is possible. Make money, enjoy. Sukhataha kriyate rama bhogaha. Then what happened? Paschad antashaire rogaha. Then what happens? Definitely, body, physical body means, however healthiest the person is, still one day the person has to kick his bucket. Understand? However healthy the person is, okay? No fit, everyday gym. No, eating that morning breakfast like a king and then lunch like a thing and then evening thing. Maintaining. No, fit body, all exercise, jogging and this thing, or anything, best of medicines, the best of food, the best of diet, everything following, keeping fit. Oh my God, look, he is 79, but still he looks so young and nice and energetic, so what? Okay, that's fine. It's very important to maintain. Very, very nice. It's very important to maintain the health of one's physical body because deha devalayaha. Body is like a temple. It's very important to have shower, to keep it clean, eat proper food, and then keep it clean and then eat food and make it healthy, fit, fine. But anybody's body will one day fall, isn't it? And any body is subject to get what? Disease. Old age is a disease, isn't it? You don't need to become fall sick itself. When you get, we're getting old, so is what? Slowly back pain, that pain, this pain, lots of problems. Pascha anta sharire rogaha. It is natural. Every body, as it gets old, will have all problems. Paschad anta sharire rogaha. Yadyapi loke maranam sharanam. Nobody's exception here. Everybody has to one day say bye to the world. It means maranam sharanam. Everybody ultimately has to take refuge in what? Death. It means what? Death is definite for everyone. But when? That's a different thing, isn't it? Some people go before, some people go after. That's all. Some day also, dhruvam sharanam, maranam sharanam. Yadyapi loke maranam sharanam. Even though death is definite in this life. Now death is something which is, for the one who is born, death is definite. In Bhagavad Gita also same thing is said. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu dhruvam janma mrutasya cha. Mrutasya janma dhruvam. For the one who is dead, the birth is definite. Now that we are very happy. Similarly, for the one who is born, death is definite. Jatasya maranam dhruvam. For mrityasya janma dhruvam. Understand now? Definite. We'll all come back. If no jnanam, we will come back. If there is, understand how? No jnanam, we'll come back. So for the one who is dead, birth is definite. For the one who is born, death also is definite. Therefore, yadyapi loke maranam sharanam. Even though death is definite, ultimate refuge for one in this life, it means what? Not refuge means what? Definite. Death is definite in this life. Tadapi na munchati papa acharanam. Even knowing this well also, death is definite. One knows this. Even knowing this, one does not give up doing wrong actions. Papa acharanam. See, punya acharanam, papa acharanam. Whether any karma will produce phalam will keep you bound. I tell you. Look at this. It is impossible for you to remain without doing any karma. You have to be doing some karma or the other. Once you do the karma, karma will definitely produce the phalam. You have no choice. Your choice over action, you can do this action or that action. But once, definitely, so you have no choice about doing action. You have to do some karma or the other. Once you do the karma, definitely karma produces phalam. Papa acharanam or punya acharanam. Whether whatever you do is right action or wrong action, it will definitely produce the phalam. Once you have phalam, punyam or papam, you have to exhaust the karma phalam. So what? You have to be born again. Understand? That is why. But it is not possible for me to give up the karma. If I do the karma, I produce the phalam. Karma produces phalam. Phalam is ordained by the natural law. Phalam is there, it has to be exhausted. To exhaust the phalam, you have to be born again. That is why samsara. So what? That is why you have to know the truth. If you know the truth, you will be free from doership and enjoyership. You will be free from all punya papas. Jnane sarvam parisamapyate. Understand? Therefore, what he says? Govindam bhaja. Have you got it now? So death is definite in this life. Always, when we do not know Purushartha Nischaya, Artha Kamas become of the ends of our life, then we always know, we live the whole life enjoying pleasures, and definitely this body is become subject to diseases and illnesses. And this, even though death is definite in this life, even then we do not give up doing wrong actions. That means what? We are just repeatedly doing the things. We are not thinking and that of knowing the Lord, truth. Therefore, he says, Govindam bhaja. Therefore, what you should do now? Bhaja Govindam, bhaja Govindam, Govindam bhaja mudhamate. Sannihite kale nahi nahi rakshati dukrin karane. What's next one?
Artham
anartham bhavaya nityam. Artham anartham bhavaya nityam. Artham anartham bhavaya nityam. Artham anartham bhavaya nityam. Nasti tata sukhalesha satyam. Nasti tata sukhalesha satyam. Nasti tata sukhalesha satyam.
Nasti tat sukhalesha satyam putradapi dhana bhajam bhitihi putradapi dhana bhajam bhitihi putradapi dhana bhajam bhitihi sarvatraisha vihita ritihi sarvatraisha vihita ritihi. Therefore, what he says, please understand, please know this very clearly, try to have purushartha nischayaha. That means what? Have purushartha nischayaha means what? Be clear about your end being moksha, choiceless end. Be clear about, now, yet clear about that you are living this life for discovering fullness, which is already there as the very sarupam of you. Understand? The truth, the Lord. And to discover the truth, you have to prepare your mind, and for which you need to live this life. And to live this life, you need to pursue, you need artha and kama. And may you pursue artha and kama in conformity with dharma, ultimately to prepare your mind for knowledge wherein you discover moksha, which is already there. Be clear about it. If you do not know this, you will overvalue artha. What do we mean overvaluing artha? We undervalue or we overvalue. We should not do both. We should know the due value of everything. Now this is useless. Don't ever say anything, undervalue anything. Everything has its own value. Everything serves its own purpose. Don't say, I don't need money, because I'm very spiritual, highly spiritual person, so I don't need any money, I don't want to touch money. There's some people say that also, you don't want to touch money. Because they think if you touch money, you are not spiritual. The wrong idea. Oh, I don't want to be materialistic, I want to be spiritual. I'm very spiritual, so I don't want to be materialistic. That's a funny expression, you know. What is materialistic? You had to be materialistic. Who said you should not be materialistic? How can you be spiritual without being materialistic? Understand? It is possible for one to be materialistic without being spiritual. But it is not possible for one to be spiritual without being materialistic. Understand? So, being materialistic means what? If artha kamas become your ultimate ends, then you are materialistic. If moksha is the ultimate end, you are spiritual. If you are spiritual, moksha is the ultimate goal for you. If you are very clear that moksha is the ultimate goal, choiceless end, which is discovering the fullness which is already there, then you are spiritual. Once you are spiritual, you know the value that you need to live this life properly. Until you discover, you are living this life to discover the fullness which is already there. And you are living this life to prepare your mind for discovering the truth. See, the wave is never away from H2O. Your mind is never away from reality, Bhagavan, the awareness. You know that? Mind is never away from awareness, the truth. When are you away from Bhagavan? If you say, I am away from Bhagavan, you understand now? You are away from truth. It is like saying, oh, wave is away from H2O. Is it possible? Wave is never away from H2O. So also your mind is never away from reality, the awareness, Bhagavan. The only thing is, you know the wave is not away from H2O objectively. But you do not know how your mind is not away from the reality Bhagavan. It is subjectively, you understand now. You don't know that. It's only a question of not knowing it. Question of knowing it. They said, to know the truth, you are living this life. And that knowledge would have happened if you were already prepared. The life itself is for what? To prepare your mind for that knowledge. That is why you are living this life, for preparing your mind for knowledge. And to live the life, you need artha and kama. How can you live your life without having artha? Without having kama, isn't it? Enjoying pleasures. As a without knowing the value of dharma. That's why one has to pursue artha and kama in conformity with dharma to live the life, in order to prepare the mind to discover the fullness, moksha, which is already there. If it is very clear, if you are very clear about the moksha being the ultimate, and you are living this life for discovering that moksha, and you to live the life, you know the value, you need artha and kama, you need to pursue artha and kama definitely in conformity with dharma. If we go against dharma, moksha is impossible, knowledge is impossible. You will never be prepared for the knowledge. Understand? Without living a life of dharma, you will be a split personality, okay? You will be disintegrated personality, then you will never be qualified. Mind will never be calm and quiet. It will always be turbulent mind. It will never be ready for jnanam. There is no jnanam, no moksha for an adharmi. That is why it is very important to live a life of dharma. That is why pursue artha and kama, which is must, but in conformity with dharma, for moksha. If it is very clear, then you know the due value of artha. You know the due value of kama. You know the due value of dharmaha also. If you do not have purushartha nischayaha, what will you do? For you, artha kamas will become your ultimate ends. Then you will not know the value of dharma. You will follow dharma to your convenience. Then that means what? That means you are pursuing artha and kama for moksha. You are not pursuing artha, kama. Understand now. You are seeking happiness, fullness in artha and kama. It is wrong, right end, but wrong means. Understand now? Therefore, that means you are overvaluing. If you think artha can make you happy, you are overvaluing artha. If you think all pleasures can make you happy, traveling, no? Global tour, world tour, or go here and there, cruise, no, nasa, do whatever you want to do. And all pleasures. All the pleasures are for what? For happiness. No, so nice. What a great experience. Sitting in bhajans through all day, so sweet. So what? Come back with again the same headache and same problems and same complaining person. What's the use? No, it was so nice. We sat through whole day we had. Yeah, nice experience. So what? You are coming back again, what? How you went before? When you were sitting in bhajans, okay. That is why people have to think, okay? You have to think. So, everything is, we overvalue things. We overvalue. No, it is useless. I don't want this. Hey, don't say that. Nothing is useless. Everything is useful. Everything serves its own purpose. But what it can give, what it cannot give, you should know. What you want, what it can give, what it cannot
give. It must be very clear. If you know moksha is the choiceless ultimate end and jnanam is the only means for moksha, because jnanam itself is moksha. And for which, if you think artha can, money can make you happy, you are overvaluing money. If you think, oh, I am already spiritual, I don't need money. Okay, if you think, you are undervaluing money. Is it clear? Therefore, similarly, pleasures also. If you can enjoy pleasures, Bhagavan has blessed you with pleasures, enjoy it, no problem. One does not need to deprive oneself of pleasures. But any pleasure you enjoy, see, you enjoy through right means. So, enjoyment of pleasures or pursuit of artha will not stop you from accomplishing moksha. If you don't see pursue artha and kama, no, if you seek moksha in artha kama, then you are overvaluing artha kama. If you think artha kama pursuit is useless, unnecessary, you are undervaluing artha kama. Then, these people who undervalue or overvalue, they will not accomplish anything in this life. They will not move from where they are any distance. Okay? Therefore, he says here, artham anartham nityam bhavaya. Hey, please understand, don't take artha as a means for mokshaha. Artha is not a direct means for mokshaha. Artha is an indirect means for moksha. How? Because to live the life, artha is needed. Isn't it? Therefore he says, artham anartham bhavaya nityam. Artha does not serve as a direct means for moksha. Anartham means what? Okay? Artha means again. Artha, wealth or security, or anything you pursue for security will not help you, you cannot have happiness from artha. Therefore, may you understand always, artha will never be direct means for moksha. Artham anartham bhavaya. பொருள் மோக்ஷத்திற்கு உதவாது என்பதை நீ மனதில் கொள்வாயாக. பிளீஸ் திங்க், பிளீஸ் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் இன் யுவர் மைண்ட் தட் அர்த்தா இஸ் ஆல்வேஸ் அனர்த்தம். ஓகே, டஸ் நாட் சர்வ் அஸ் டைரக்ட் மீன்ஸ் ஃபார் மோக்ஷா. அர்த்தா கேனாட் மேக் யூ ஹாப்பி பை இட் செல்ஃப். Without artha also you cannot be happy. Understand? Artham anartham bhavaya nityam. Artham anartham bhavaya nityam. Nasti tata sukhalesha satyam. Sukhalesha api tataha nasti. Okay? See, not even sukham means fullness, happiness, anandaha. Sukha leshaha means what? Fraction of happiness. Even little of happiness. Even little of happiness is not there in artha. Sukha leshaha api nasti. Satyam, please he says we don't believe, okay? You blabber whatever you want to blabber, we won't listen. We know money is everything. We can buy everything with our money. We can buy our pleasures. We can buy our joy. We can buy our happiness using our money, spending money. We know money is happiness. Who is there? Without money, we will be very unhappy. And Shastra says, definitely without money, you will be very, very, very unhappy. Therefore, you need to have money. But don't think money will make you happy also. That means what? Without money, you will be unhappier. Okay. You will be very, very unhappy. But with the money also, you will not be happy. Why? Because happiness is not in money. Your possession of money or non-possession of money, pursuit of artha, non-pursuit of artha will not make you happy. That means what? Satyam, please understand. Sukha leshaha api tataha nasti. Konchungoodu santoshamgirudu apurulil illai. There is not even little of happiness in artha. Why? Because happiness is not in artha. Happiness is you. Why it is not there? Happiness is limitlessness. Limitlessness is fullness. Fullness is you. Where you means what? The actual meaning of the word I. What is that? Consciousness, isn't it? Fullness is consciousness. Consciousness is fullness. You need to know that. You need to discover fullness. Sukham is where? Sukha surupaha you are. Sukham is very truth, reality. Sukham is surupam, you are surupam. You need to discover the sukham. Your sukham is what? Having butter in your hand, searching for all over ghee. Kail vennai vaitthukkondu nei kalegiranna. Understand now? You have butter, but you go and search for ghee everywhere. Why? You do not know ghee is, butter is ghee. Understand now? See, this is what we say. You are happiness, and you do not know you are happiness. That is why you need to know how you are happiness. The question is now, you have to know. Somebody has to come and tell you, come on, you are not poor, you are not a beggar, you are a king. No, no, I am still a beggar. The thing is, you need to know here. So here you are fullness, you have to know. But what do? You are fullness, but you are searching for fullness where? In artha. That is what is anartha. Understand what is anartha? Anartha means anartha. What does it mean, anartha? Okay, searching for something in something where it is not available. Understand? That's what anartha. Here. It is not available there. So, artham, anartham, bhavaya, sukha leshaha api tataha nasti. Even little of happiness is not in artha. Then where is happiness? Happiness is you. Then what should you do? You pursue artha to live this life, to have infrastructure, to eat food, to drink water, to have a shelter, to wear clothing, to do things. You pursue artha. That means you are giving due value to artha. But don't search for happiness in artha. For happiness, you need to know. Therefore, you need to know. But nasti tataha sukha leshaha api tataha nasti. But don't overvalue artha. So nasti tata sukha lesha satyam putradapi dhana bhajam bhitihi. See, dhana bhajam bhitihi. Dhana bhaja means what? Dhana bhag means the possessor of wealth, the possessor of money, the moneyed rich person is called dhanabhag. Dhanabhaja means what? For those who are endowed with wealth, who possess wealth, who are rich, who are moneyed, for them bhitihi is definite. Fear is always definite. Even from, not from outside robbers and dacoits, from their own children. Kala ennaki mandai podum, okay? In India we say that. Some people say, no. And with this old man, if he goes, we can immediately share. Putradapi dhanabhajam bhitihi. Now, it's just something facts, you know. It's just a fact. They're all facts, isn't it? It is not something to be hidden. However affectionate and nice and good children they are, you see, you should have lots of money. Then you will know what it is. You have 2-3 sons. And you will know then what it is, sharing. When you don't have a lot of money, no problem, no? At least we give a lot of warmth and love, so they are also affectionate.
really speaking, the dhanabhajam bhitihi putrad api. Even from their own sons, no? They're always frightened of their own sons also. People who are highly moneyed, very rich, they're frightened of their own sons. Understand? That means what? So how money or wealth or artha will not free you from fear. It will add to your fear. That's what I'm saying here. Artha will not free you from fear. It will cause more fear. Not from outsiders, from your own family members. Dhanabhajam putradapi bhitihi. Sarvatra yesha vihita ritihi. Hey, this is the general fact, what is known worldwide, what is known everywhere. Sarvatra yesha ritihi vihita. This is how everywhere, this is how things are everywhere. இது உண்மை இல்லையா? இஸ் இட் அ ஃபேக்ட்? த ஓல்ட் பீப்புள் ஹூ ஆர் வெரி வெரி ரிச், தேர் வெரி ஃப்ரைட்டன்ட், யூ நோ தட். வை? சோ மணி, இஃப் மணி, இஃப் ஹாப்பினஸ் இஸ் இன் மணி, இட் ஷுட் ஹாவ் ரிலீவ் தம் ஆஃப் ஃபியர். த ஹாப்பி பர்சன் இஸ் அ ஃபியர்லெஸ் பர்சன். ப்ளீஸ் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட், ஹாப்பியஸ்ட் பர்சன் is the most fearless person. The most fearless person is the most successful person. If money can make one happy, then the moneyed person must be free from fear. But we see the people who are very rich, dhanabhajam, they are frightened even of their own sons. Why? Because you know that. That means there is no happy. This verse does not tell you not to have money. It tells you to have lots of money, but please see, understand, there's no happiness in money. That's all. See, Shastram will never say anything against. Shastram always says, please pursue artha, please earn as much money as possible, but through right means. Please enjoy any amount of pleasures you want to, but through righteous means. Know the limitation of them, but what you ultimately seek, accomplishing which, the life becomes a life of accomplishment, for which you need to know the truth. The happiness is, in fact, in discovering what it is.